It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Break the huddle. Two receivers to the left, two to the right. Hill to the left of Jackson. Shotgun. Jackson looking. Jackson looking to his left. Jackson floating. End zone. Caught. Left side. Touchdown. Rashad Bateman. A little flip from Jackson to put the Ravens in front.
It ended up holding, and the Ravens win the football game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Despite the fact, Perloff, that the Bengals did score on the next possession, they decided to go for two. It did not work despite what looked like multiple penalties on that two-point conversion. And the Ravens have now swept the season series against the Bengals.
All right, let's do sliding doors here. Say they do make that two-point conversion. Was it 27 seconds left or 30 seconds for the Ravens? In my mind, there is zero chance they stop the Baltimore Ravens from scoring a field goal unless Justin Tucker continues his sort of off-balance season and misses a game winner. Lamar was definitely getting, he had two timeouts. He was definitely getting him to field goal range. So I don't even know if what difference it would have made if they had hit the two-pointer.
You're right. They had scored touchdowns on 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive plays. Drives, rather. Four consecutive drives. So, yeah, you didn't have a lot of faith in the Bengals' defense at that point, but listen, anything could happen. At that point, you're hoping for a fumble or you're hoping for something. One of your guys makes a good play. And you're right, Justin Tucker has not been the automatic kicker from 50-plus this year. Like, we're coming to the end here with one of the great kickers of all time, but I wonder if he's even back next year. I doubt it. So, you know, I just think that this is an interesting one because, yeah, Pearl, if you could say sliding doors, they get that two-point conversion, and we're probably saying, wow, the Bengals actually are this great team. I just don't know if I see it. And it's not because of last night. They had a 21-7 advantage in this game in the third quarter. It's just they're not playing complete football unless it's against one of the worst teams in the NFL. It doesn't look good start to finish unless it's against the Raiders or against the Panthers or against Manny's New York Giants, excuse me. It's just, I don't know. They've lost close ones to the Chiefs and now two close ones to the Ravens. It wasn't even close against your Philadelphia Eagles. I just don't know how you could look and say, wow, the Bengals are this great team. They're not.
I'm not saying great team, but, I mean, you underestimate, like, who is stopping the Ravens? Maybe the Chiefs do somehow in the postseason, but right now the Ravens are a historic offense. Like, there's no shame in giving up 35 points to the Ravens. Like, nobody's going to stop this team. They have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. So
Derrick Henry wasn't even, I mean, at the end of the game,
by
he
way,
had
Derrick
some
Henry,
big
Derrick Henry was like, wait, it was an off night for him. He still ended up with 66 yards or something like that and barely any touches. And it was like his worst night of the year. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry. It's still there. You still have to account for it,
totally.
Even if he doesn't. So I'm not going to rip them because the Ravens did stuff on offense, because the Ravens are unstoppable right now.
They might have a historic offense. I understand that. Here is Ja'Marr Chase and just unpacking some of the dramatics from last night. On the two-point conversion failure, they did not go to Chase on that. He says he was open.
Were you open on the two-point conversion?
Yeah. I'm always open.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a great answer because which wide receiver in the history of the world will tell you that they're not open?
He's pretty accurate in this case, too.
And this was the two-point attempt went to Tanner Hudson, and it was incomplete. Here's more from Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals. They're just not finishing games.
I think we just got to find a way to finish. We've been doing this. Every loss we had, we didn't finish. So we just got to find some type of way to finish.
And he says it's stunning that the Bengals are 4-6, given how well he and Joe Burrow are playing.
Yeah, it's crazy to say that. I would never in a million years expect me to play this well, and he played this well, and we still have a record like this.
Yeah, I mean, but don't you just have to look in the mirror? I'm not saying Burrow and Chase have to look in the mirror. I'm saying the whole team looks at the mirror about you should at least be .500, at the least.
Well,
should have won that game against the Patriots. To me, should have won that game against the Commanders.
I know what you're saying.
Well,
the Commanders are pretty good, so I don't know about that.
But rookie quarterback on the road playing their third game ever. You're the Bengals and the Patriots, or with Jacoby Brissett. And again, that game was at home. You got to win those games.
I'm always open. You say that, but you got to understand the fact that the Bengals are. You know how Phil Hellmuth, the poker player, World Series poker, used to not show up for the first three or four hands. It's just like that is what the Bengals do. Like. If next year they start at 0-2, are you counting them out?
I just think that this is the year it caught up to them. This is painful because Burrow's playing so well.
No, I think a lot of things have caught up to them. They're 4-6 now. Like they have to almost run the table, and they will find a way to blow a game. Did you think they want Chase Brown carrying the ball 20 times a game? Like they basically are limited by injuries. They don't have depth at the running back. They don't have depth at wide receiver. They're putting like three tight ends out on all these plays. They're cobbling together something here. This is not how they wanted to go.
Yeah, but it also doesn't have to be this hard, right? There are other teams out there who pay somebody besides just the quarterback and are still able to have depth at certain positions, right? Like, I get it. It makes it harder when you pay the quarterback, but it doesn't make it impossible.
Do you think there's a single team in this league that could survive losing their starting running back, losing their left tackle, and losing... I'm going to say number two receiver, but he's really a number one receiver. Nobody could survive that.
Yeah, but Orlando Brown hasn't been out all year.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
The left tackle.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to have a perfect Orlando Brown the rest of the year.
Maybe not. 855-212-4227. We've got some poll questions up, EJ. I think this one's going to get me in a little bit of trouble, saying that I don't think that the Bengals are a very good team right now. That has nothing to do with Burrow, by the way, or Chase. But we are asking, are the Bengals a good team? 53% of you still saying yes, they are. But that's close, 53 to 47.
They're 4-6.
Yeah, but
so why would you get in trouble for that?
Well, because I think there's still a mystique around Burrow, right? There's still this idea that, hey, they just went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago and probably should have won that game.
Yeah, I think there's also the mystique that everyone knows that they catch fire come November and December. So that's the real reason.
One thing I'm a little surprised, Prof, you know, you and I have been friends for a long time. We've been doing the show now for 3 years. I thought you would have 100% been blaming the officials about last night because they missed the face mask, two defensive holding calls on the 2-point conversion. I thought you would have been like, the refs blew this because you love ragging on the refs.
Yeah, I mean, do you not think I tweeted the second it happened?
Sorry. I meant this morning. I've not seen ref outrage.
And to my credit, by the way, I didn't even need the replay. I'm like, I saw it in real time. I'm like, there are three fouls. You could see the guy get tackled in the middle of the field. You could see the actual receiver get tackled. I did not know about the blow to the face on Joe Burrow / face mask / blow to the head, whatever you want to call it. But it was so obvious. But the Ravens, every play, anytime they showed the secondary, there was somebody tackling somebody about 2 seconds before the ball got there. It was the old Seattle Seahawks strategy. The officials just get exhausted by calling every play. So it worked. It's not going to work against Kansas City because you have you have an immovable force versus an unstoppable object. The refs love Kansas City. They love Baltimore. I think give the edge to the Chiefs when it comes down to it.
You know, to be fair, though, the Ravens got called for two penalties on this drive. They kept
be fair,
going.
They committed those penalties.
No, they did. I mean, the face mask, definitely. They had a different roughing the passer, and then the Kyle Van Noy offsides.
Which was hysterical, by the way, because he tried to ballet his stance back. He went offsides and he couldn't get his balance back. But yeah, I mean, they're very undisciplined. Which
11
is strange.
Penalties last night for the Ravens. It's a lot.
There's something. This is the Ravens' defense is clearly not what it was. I know their defensive coordinator, Zach Orr, gets a lot of the heat for this, but something's off there. We got to find out. Again, the research team, has a defense this bad won a Super Bowl? I think you need some defense to win the Super Bowl.
Well, the research team is either EJ or Manny. Who wants to take this one? EJ's king for a day, so I don't know if you need to do this kind of dirty work.
Yeah, I don't know. This feels a little beneath a king.
This feels like Manny's assignment. Now, to be fair, Manny was not here the day we made the bet that EJ won, which was a baseball bet about home runs, that, you know, Manny didn't have anything to do with this. But yet you still are not the king today. That's EJ.
Yeah, I think Manny may have to look this up today.
What am I doing?
Hey, Manny, welcome to the show. Your assignment, and you have 2 hours to do it, which is a long time. Has a defense this bad ever won the Super Bowl? And go.
I feel like we've asked this question. I feel like I've done that research on this show before. Like,
yeah,
I
mean, it was a big, it was a, it's it was a been a about, big it was, topic.
Yeah,
before.
Maybe it was, maybe we're talking about the Ravens. I guess maybe the same team. Like, we talked,
I think
about,
maybe we're talking about the Chiefs.
Oh, no, it was the Chiefs.
Yeah. It seems like a pretty easy Google search.
Well, we're going to find out about that. Meanwhile, EJ is king for a day. He has already punished Nico by making him say nice things about teams he doesn't like. He has already punished Bogish. Bogish has to wear a New York Knicks warm-up jacket every time he does an update. Bogish despises Knicks and all their fans. And Perloff currently is going to be shelling out upwards of $30 this morning purely on orange juice, the fresh squeeze variety.
Yeah.
Because EJ's the king, and he gets what he wants today.
It's not really mostly. It's mostly on service fees. I'm basically buying you guys service fees.
Honestly, we just had this whole election, all this stuff. No one mentioned service fees. Wow. If anyone had run on a platform of that, I would have gotten my vote immediately.
I think that kind of stuff did come up.
Did it come up?
Yeah.
I was focused on other things. That would have been universal approval rating.
The big one is taxes on tips and that kind of stuff. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, not to get political, but that's interesting.
I worked in the service industry for a long time. Taxes on tips is a massive issue.
It's a big issue. And also, too, like, okay, if you're not going to tax those tips, where is that money going to come from? Is a challenge to the new administration.
Yeah.
Wow, we got super, into the weeds there.
that was not even like the top five political things.
I don't think that was like, we were weighing in one way or the other. We're so careful. Look at us.
Just mentioning it. Meanwhile, you are welcome to mention and weigh in on the Cincinnati Bengals at 855-212-4227. Should they have gone for two? Could have played for overtime here. The Bucs did it against the Chiefs on Monday night. Now, that didn't go in their favor, but you never know. Could come down to a coin toss because neither team could really stop each other at the end. And then the bad penalties. And now the Bengals are 4-6. Are they going to make the playoffs? Another big story yesterday is Billy Napier gets a vote of confidence from the University of Florida Gators. Reggie is in Florida. Reggie, was this a smart move by the Gator brass to keep Billy Napier?
Well, yesterday morning I got a text from our local, I guess you'd call it Infinity now instead of CBS Sports Network, and he told me about the retention of Billy Napier. And he, like almost every guest he had on after the first 3 weeks, were just waiting for what day Billy was going to get fired. Mm. But the funny thing happened, they won three in a row, and he didn't lose the locker room. We lost to Tennessee in overtime. We were ahead of Georgia and tied in the fourth quarter, 2020. And if we didn't lose our quarterback, we would have beaten the Bulldogs. So let me ask you a trivia question. What do you think the record is of the teams that beat Florida this year? There's four of them. I'll give you a hint. 2 weeks ago, it was 19-2. Now it's 26-3. That's our four losses. There's no way they should pay this guy $23 or $24 million and lose all that money for NIL, which I'm with you, Maggie, all the way. Much smarter use of money.
Yeah, I agree. You know, to pay Billy Napier to go away and to bring in a whole new coaching staff, you're looking at an estimation of $40 million. Now, Perloff, you'll say in the long run, that's a drop in the bucket for a program like Florida.
Yeah.
But who are you getting, first of all? Yeah. The last few coaches at Florida have not worked out. And I think give that to the players. To Reggie's point, and Reggie, thank you for the phone call. He didn't lose the locker room. And DJ Lagway, who might enter the portal, and you might have to re-recruit him or what have you, he likes Billy Napier. Mm. Billy Napier is the one who brought him on campus. So,
do you ever want to be relevant again? Or would you just rather have a nice balance sheet?
Well, I guess here's the thing. What's the quickest way to become relevant in this day and age? Is it to have a great coach or have great players?
I don't know. Ask Nebraska.
But again, like now with the...
No, I mean, like, they got the best player in the country, and, like, they don't look like they're going to be anything different than what Nebraska...
He's a true freshman. I mean, give Dylan Raiola a second year. If he's... I swear, if he was a sophomore, not a freshman, I think they win that game at Ohio State.
Mm,
They had the ball in the final drive. They had all the pressure on Ohio State, and he threw a bad pick.
They went minus 40 yards on that drive.
I'm just saying, if he had a little more experience, they might win that game.
I just think that they remind me so much of Nebraska. Because when I was younger, Nebraska was like they were unstoppable. Then Florida became unstoppable. And it sometimes takes years and years and years to get back. And Billy Napier is not getting back. He might have a one-off year like Norvell did at Florida State, but that program does not scare me at all.
Wait, can I bring up 2 points, though?
Yeah.
One, it is in theory and in practice, with no disrespect to Nebraska, but Florida is one of the most fertile recruiting grounds ever. If you are going to come back and turn yourself around, I would think it'd be easier with the proximity to talent in Florida.
I don't know. Nebraska's right there in the middle. In the 90s, nobody in the history of the sport recruited more talent. They had California, they had Florida, they had Texas.
I know, but to your point, like, that's not happening anymore.
Well, why is it not happening now? I mean, Florida's right there. Then how come their players haven't been good in about 6 years?
Oh, I think I a lot of reasons, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have a tough assignment here in the SEC because the other programs have gotten so elite. And, you know, you got Kirby sitting there, you got Alabama. It's going to be really, really hard for them to break through to that level right now. And it's definitely not happening with Napier.
Tough assignment this weekend, Florida on the road to play the Texas Longhorns. Okay.
Oh, I forgot about them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, but I don't mind this for now. Again, 855-212-4227. Yes, Billy Napier has gone 8-13 against the SEC. I realize that. Coming up next, every Friday he joins us and he helps us make money. And we like that about him. Nick Costos from You Better You Bet is up next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show.
I heard the research team is...
Yeah. Oh, question is, who's the worst defense ever to win a Super Bowl? There's a few metrics you could go by. Who allowed the most points during the regular season? Who had the lowest rank? The research team, Manny, has come up with an answer. What do you got?
Yeah, so it seems as though the 2011 Giants were actually the worst Super Bowl winning defense. 2011 Giants. Go Big Blue! They're actually on this list twice. The 2007 Giants was the fourth worst defense. Gotta love my Big Blue.
Which is unreal because the defense is the reason, besides the helmet catch and whatever, but the defense is the reason they won that Super Bowl. The defense was killing Tom Brady in that Super Bowl. Our next guest remembers it very well. Yeah. That's Nick Costos from You Better You Bet. You know, Nick, normally we, you know, joke around about your teams losing, like the Yankees and the Giants, but this is positive memories. You had two of the worst defenses ever to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, stats are for losers, clearly, because I watched those games, and the Giants' defense was great in both those playoff runs and in both Super Bowls, most notably Super Bowl 42, where, you know, Bill Belichick's the greatest coach ever, and prior to that, the greatest defensive coordinator ever with the New York Football Giants. That is the most arrogantly coached football game ever. Super Bowl 42, where Belichick refused to block with more than five up front with the spread offense that they had, like, innovated, right, in 2007 with Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator, and Justin Tuck and OCU Mignora and Michael Strahan and the rest of the Giants absolutely destroyed and bulldozed Tom Brady in that game. My personal favorite was Jay Alford sacking Brady on the final drive of the game, spearing Brady, and Brady having to call a timeout from his back. True story. Watch that game at Andrew Bogish's apartment.
No way.
Get out of here.
Super Bowl 42. Yes.
Did you guys watch both Super Bowls together? Because if you watched one and you won, wouldn't you everyone have to just assume the same positions?
Well, I was working at NFL Radio. I was at Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis, which was really great. Watched the Giants beat the Patriots the second time. But I remember at halftime, Giants were down 7-3 of Super Bowl 42. They outplayed the Patriots the whole game. They were losing, and I'm thinking they're going to lose. I went outside, laid down on the ground in Queens outside Bogish's apartment, and smoked a cigarette, literally, like laying down, looking up into the night sky.
You laid down on a New York City street?
Yeah, like, I'm a crazy, not any, as I get older, not really, but yeah, I'm an insane, psychotic
desperate times
fan.
Do you remember that time that you guys actually punted to DeSean Jackson?
Oh. I do. Yeah.
2010? Yeah. Yeah, I was there for that one. That was fun.
Yeah, it's fine. I have four Super Bowls, you have one. Eat it.
Yeah, yeah. And how are you guys doing now? I hate big game in Germany.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year, Giants or Eagles?
I would say right now the Eagles are looking a little better than you.
I'd say nobody, none, and it will remain 4-1 Giants.
I would say your team should stay. By the way, Nick and I got you didn't respond, but we got a little social media beef last night because as
what
always,
time did you send that to me? Because I you know, it's just terrible, man. So my daughter is 6 months old. I fall asleep during these primetime games. So I wake up and I'm like, and I have to like rewind and like see what happened. It's really bad.
Listen, you got a six-month-old kid. We'll give you a pass for now, Nick, but not forever.
Nick Kostos, if anyone who does it is not familiar with him, it's 4th and 7 at your own 12. He's like, you got to go for that. He is the Dan Campbell of football analysts. Like, you would give me big Dan Campbell energy last night with the Bengals' aggressive strategy on fourth down.
Yeah, I forget which one you. Yeah, I turned out to be wrong because I think like the Ravens ended up punting. But my theory was the Ravens offense has been and you know they obviously exploded at the end of the game last night. But the Ravens offense has been so good this year. I love Zach Taylor's strategy, the aggression early. I think you have to always assume that they're going to score. And if they're going to score, then you need to try and score. So if it's 4th and 2 at like your own 40, I think you should go for it. Because the thought is if you punt, like they're going to score anyway, whether it's a short field or not. Now, I turned out to be wrong with that specific example. And I have to admit, like I'm not an NFL coach. And maybe if I were, I would think a little differently. And maybe I am a little too aggressive at points with what I want teams to do. But I think that his aggressive approach last night was right on. And it's the same thing with Todd Bowles on Monday night. Like you go for two. Like, you want to be aggressive and try and win the game there. So I definitely do err on the side of aggression.
Bowles did not. It ended up being a fatal flaw.
And
no
he should have.
Hey, Nick, yeah, Maggie and I were debating. Do you think Zach Taylor could be in trouble in Cincinnati?
I think he probably should be. I don't know if he will be. Because I don't think this is going to, like, spiral out of control. The Bengals are still really good. Burrow's playing at an MVP level. He's not going to win. They're 4-6. They're 4 games back of Baltimore, 3 in the loss column, and then Baltimore with the head-to-head sweep. It's like they can't win the division, but it's possible they could. Like, why can't they go, 10-7 or 11? Why can't they win out? I'm not saying they're going to, but they have that kind of upside to make the playoffs, in which case he's not going to be fired. I mean, he should be. I feel like I could coach Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to be a pretty good offense. The problem with the Bengals, and we've seen this for most of the Taylor Burrow regime, they have these slow starts. They have to dig themselves out of these holes. It happens constantly. And look, like all the losses on the schedule are all like forgivable. Like it's forgivable to lose to the Eagles. Like you should win at least one of these games against Baltimore, but the Ravens are not a bad team. The Commanders loss in Week 3 on Monday Night Football felt bad at the time, but doesn't feel as bad now. The unforgivable loss is Week 1 at home against Jacoby Brissett and the Patriots. Like, and like a better coach than Zach Taylor, you probably win that game. And then they're 5-5 at worst. Instead of 4-6.
You know, Nick, I agree with you on a lot of those points, but I won't agree with you on the Commanders thing. You've got Lou Anarumo, who somehow can cook up the best things to stop Patrick Mahomes, but you have a rookie quarterback playing their third game coming into your place. You can't let Jaden Daniels win that game. But anyway, let's get to the weekend. Sorry about that. Let's get to the weekend because we got to make some money for ourselves and for our audience. Nick Kostos is with us from You Better You Bet. College slate, awesome this weekend. Headlined by Alabama at LSU. Alabama on the road. This one is basically an elimination game. They are favored by 2.5 is what I'm seeing right now. Total 58.5. How are you betting this game?
Yeah, this is what we call in wrestling parlance. This is a loser leaves town match. Like losers done will not make the college football playoff. I'm seeing this and look, depending on what sports book you're looking at, like we're hanging out in between 2.5 and 3. I'm seeing it at BetMGM right now. Bama's a full 3-point road favorite.
Okay.
At 3, Maggie, I want to take the points with LSU. I actually think we're going to see Garrett Nussmeier outplay Jalen Milroe in this game. And look, and Kalen DeBoer is obviously like a really good coach. 3 on the road though in Death Valley on a Saturday night at 3, not 2.5, at +3. That's a bet for me coming up on Saturday with LSU.
Hey Nick, the Miami Hurricanes have gone over. I think every game.
Hey Perloff.
Hey Nick, how you doing? So the Hurricanes keep going over. So, and you're really good at this. So they put the spread up in the Georgia Tech total in the Georgia Tech game up to 64. Is there a certain number that's just too high in Miami Georgia Tech, like 64? I'm just picturing myself watching that. Like, that's a hard number to get to.
Yeah, well, and the thing with totals like this in college and the NFL is you get, like, college is a little different, but in the NFL, you have a high total, you get, like, one red zone interception, and, like, you just lose. Mm. Like, one settle for field goal, and, like, you prop, or you have, like, an avalanche of points at the end of the game last night with the Ravens and the Bengals, and then they hit a very nice 69, and it doesn't make a difference. So I'm looking at Georgia Tech's, like, a point scored this year. So against, like, decent competition, 19 against Louisville, 13 against Notre Dame. Yeah, I guess, like, my issue with this game would, I think if you like the over in the game, I think you should just bet Miami. That would be my advice for Miami and Georgia Tech, because Miami is going to score. I think, so Cam Ward and Travis Hunter are equal odds right now to win the Heisman. They're co-favorites, plus 200. I think Cam Ward's more, not a lot more likely, but is more likely to win. We know Miami's going to score. I don't know if Georgia Tech can do its part to get the game over the total. I think if you like the over, it's a tacit admission that you think Miami's going to score a ton, and I would just lay Miami. It's not one of my favorite bets, but I would bet Miami.
What's your favorite college bet this week? Is it a Georgia Ole Miss? Is it Colorado Texas Tech? Is it Michigan and Indiana?
Yeah, can I give you like an off-the-beaten-path game? Like not like a sexy game, but not as sexy. Pitt this week is hosting Virginia. Pitt is a 7.5-point home favorite. So Pitt is coming off the loss last week. They got trucked by SMU. Next week, Pitt's got to face Clemson. And Pitt's still in the top 25. And Pitt's still, like, I'm still harboring hopes of a potential college football playoff berth. We'll see. So this is what we call a sandwich spot. Because, you know, the bread and the sandwich is SMU and Clemson. And the meat is Virginia. I'll take Virginia. I'll take the Cavaliers plus the 7.5 at Pitt coming up tomorrow. I give you a couple other quick ones. Washington, it's not 14 anymore. Like, that's the bet I want. That's what I bet. Washington plus 14 at Penn State. It's hard to imagine Penn State getting off the mat. I'm not saying Penn State's going to lose, but the way that game went down last week against Ohio State, when I felt like a clown betting James Franklin in a big game, that was absolutely brutal. I'll take Washington, but Maggie, I would like to get 14 in that game tomorrow at Penn State.
Well, you know, Lane Kiffin is not the same as James Franklin, but a little bit, like, do you trust him in a big game when he's got a win and you got Georgia?
I like Georgia.
You like Georgia and the 2.5?
Yeah, and you know, this is maybe just bias on my part because I bet him to win the Heisman Trophy and I've been talking about him all season. I actually think this is just, I don't know, just some guy that watches sports. I'm not like a quarterback evaluator. I think Carson Beck's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Wow.
And he definitely, yeah, sounds kind of dumb, right? He definitely throws too many picks. He makes too many like nutty decisions. But when, like, the chips are down and he's got to perform and play well, like, he generally does. I think we get a great Carson Beck performance in this game. I do like Georgia laying the 2.5 tomorrow night at Ole Miss.
Nick, I was just kidding. I do like Carson Beck as a pro, too. They love height. I feel like he's been married to the Giants forever. I don't think it's going to happen now.
Are you messing with me or
no? No, I mean, Carson Beck, if you look at a preseason
mock draft. Where have you heard that?
What's that?
Where have you? Who's priest?
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, you look at any mock draft, like the Giants and Carson Beck, everyone's like, oh, he's definitely the next Giants quarterback before he kind of struggled this year.
I don't like him anymore.
Wait, yeah. Nick, you will hate Carson Beck if he's your quarterback. Because, by the way, you get one fingernail pressure.
I hate him now.
You get one fingernail pressure on this guy, and he's throwing right to the other team.
He is a perfect combination.
I already hate him.
He's a combination of Eli Manning and Daniel Jones. He's definitely going to be a Giant.
I mean,
he's same height.
You say that, see, like, but that's so dumb, though, because, look.
No.
I'll let you get away with a lot. Like, Eli's going to the Hall of Fame, perhaps.
Yeah. No, but you're a team that draft. I'm just saying, like, if you look at, I'm not actually joking, you look at any preseason mock draft, everyone's like, oh, of course the Giants are taking Carson Beck. Now they'd have to take him in the second round, but I thought you just said you like Carson Beck.
Well, now, if I know he's going to be Giants quarterback, I like him less. This is just like, you know, I'm just like, I'm conditioned now to think my team's always going to lose, unfortunately.
Let's go to the NFL. What's your thoughts, and this will answer the question on the game, are you pro or anti Cooper Rush?
Cowboys quarterback. I know who he is. Yes. Price really matters here. Like, if it's Cooper Rush and it's a pick 'em against the Eagles, I'd bet Philadelphia. But Cooper Rush getting 7.5, I like Dallas a little bit at the price. At more than a touchdown. I don't love Dallas in the game. The problem with Dallas, and Micah Parsons is expected back, right? Which obviously really helps. The problem is, like, is Philly just going to score like 38 points in this game? Is Dallas dead team walking? Is the team going to quit on Mike McCarthy? So I think, like, we have to acknowledge, Perloff, that, like, that possibility exists. for the Cowboys just to lay down in this game. But we have seen, for what it's worth, with Cooper Rush, he's 5-1 as the Cowboys starting quarterback. He's had a couple instances in the past couple years where he's come in relief of Dak Prescott, and he's not as good. Also, like, Dak hasn't played that well this year. I'm not saying Rush is as good as him, but like, Cooper Rush, I think, can play like adequate NFL football here. CeeDee Lamb's expected to play in the game. So it is not one of my favorite bets of the week, but if I had to bet the game, I would take the 7.5 with the Cowboys. Not that they're going to win, but I think that they can lose by a touchdown or less.
Here Nick Costos is joining us from You Better, You Bet.
Is that Dak or?
That was me doing Dak.
Here we go.
You sound like Homer Simpson gurgling.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Right on the nose. Yeah, we're not going to have Perloff do the Chris Berman for you. It's just going to put you in a bad mood.
Oh, I'd love it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It's Chris Berman at the nursing home somehow.
Or on the toilet.
I thought it was really funny.
Nick Costos.
See, that was bad.
Yeah, see, I was going to say Nick. I think
I can do the I can't do the words.
All right, that's good.
This is going to be a fun one. The Lions are at the Texans. The Lions are a 3.5-point favorite on the road in Houston. The total's 48.5. Do you have a bet in this one?
Oh, yeah.
And he would be Andrew Diamonds and Perloff, right? That would be the nickname?
Yeah.
So for Lions and Texans, there's a lot going on here. So I don't think Nico Collins or Will Anderson are playing in the game on Sunday night. Nico Collins has not been activated yet. He hasn't practiced this week. I think it's very unlikely he plays. I also don't think Will Anderson is going to play with this ankle injury. And if and when that's announced, so like today's Friday, final injury report's going to come out. If both of them are DNPs today, and like you get the insiders will start tweeting like, oh, like unlikely to play on Sunday. You don't have to be a professional bettor or a betting analyst to answer this question. Like what happens? Like what do people want to do when Nico Collins and Will Anderson are ruled out? Answer is obviously is like bet Detroit.
Yeah.
So I don't know that. I think if you like the Texans, and I don't, but people can, I can be wrong. If you like the Texans, I think you can wait. You'll probably get four because I don't think those guys are playing in the game. And I think if you like Detroit, I actually think like you might want to get ahead of it and bet it now ahead of this news. If you gave me $100, I bet Lions -3 earlier in the week, which is not to pat myself on the back, just offering that this context. If you gave me $100 now and said bet the game, I would lay 3.5 with Detroit.
I'll never see it coming.
All right, this is a game that is awesome, and I never would have expected to be awesome. Steelers and Commanders, Maggie took a veiled shot at Jaden Daniels before, which we will not stand for in this show.
Well, listen, if he can score 21 points, he's probably going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. No, I don't
that
know.
That was kind of a veiled shot, by the way.
He's a rookie quarterback on the road. The Bengals should have
beaten awesome.
Him. Oh, I know.
Yeah, he's CJ
awesome.
Stroud 2.0. How do you see this?
And they played the Chiefs 1,000 times already.
Commanders, 2.5-point favorites, hosting the Steelers.
Yeah, so this is a big like split action game where you talk to a bunch of people, and if you respect or maybe you don't respect them, whatever. It feels like there's not a consensus on this game with Washington and Pittsburgh. So I'm going to give a really lame betting answer followed by like my opinion. The lame betting answer is price matters. We're hovering around the key number of 3. So if you want to bet this game and you like Washington, please lay 2.5, not 3. And if you like Pittsburgh, take 3, not 2.5, to give yourself the best chance of winning. Now, my opinion, the bet that I would rather make, and I will offer, I will say this, right? A lot of people, people are on all different sides here. So this is not like I have other bets that I'm more confident in this weekend. I would rather take the 3 with Pittsburgh coming off the bye than lay the 2.5 with Washington. I actually think, weirdly, if he plays, Mike Williams matters a lot, like in the run game and in the red zone and catching moon balls from Russell Wilson. So Steelers +3 would be my preferred bet. I will probably have a small bet on that. It is not one of my favorite bets of the week, but Steelers would be my preferred side. But again, if you like Pittsburgh, bet +3. If you like Washington, lay -2.5.
Okay, Nick, so give us first, we'll take your favorite bet of the week, and then we'll also take your upset pick of the week, which we do every Friday. So first give us your best one.
Okay, so favorite. Yeah. Okay, so my favorite, we were a couple days ago, we were at WTF status. with the Jets and Cardinals, which of course stands for wrong team favored. The Cardinals were favored at home against the Jets, and that was way incorrect. And I'll just offer a quick parallel to last week. So Arizona hosts Chicago last week. They win the game. The result of the game is immaterial. Arizona was going to close like maybe an underdog, and they closed a 2.5-point favorite. But if Chicago had had its defensive players like Sweat, Gordon, Brisker, they had played in the game, I think the Bears would have closed a favorite, -1, let's say, right? Or the game would have closed to pick them. Arizona was a 1.5-point home favorite against the Jets. I don't care about one loss records. You can't tell me, with Bears fans, Jets fans, whatever, like the Bears are not as good as the Jets. Like, I'm sorry, like they're not. So now we're in a range where the point spread is more correct. I actually think it's not correct enough. Now, Jets -3 would never last. People would bet Arizona +3 and grab the number. So I'm not saying that's the right number. What I would do, though, I would bet the Jets all the way up to -2.5. So I think the Jets would be my favorite play this week, the Jets to win and cover in Arizona.
Okay, let's get your upset pick of the week.
Well, do I still get to do this after I gave you Denver last week? That was pretty bad.
We weren't going to bring it up. You've given us so many winners, Nick.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, upset pick of the week this week. Miami doesn't count on Monday night, right? That's they're +1. They're a 1-point road underdog. So I won't give you Miami.
Well, you like Miami in that game.
Well, I bet Miami +2.5. Now it's 1. The Rams can't. I also teasing Miami was just the absolute nuts earlier this week. Like Miami in Kansas City feels really good. Upset pick this week. Sorry, Maggie. How about the Indianapolis Colts to win at home against the Buffalo Bills? Joe Flacco was atrocious, obviously, on Sunday night against him. Anthony Richardson's like, I could do that. A terrible game. Bills defense is structured and is called differently, obviously, than what Brian Flores does. And I think this is a game where Joe Flacco can have more success throwing the football against this Bills defense. Indianapolis is a really tough place to play. I will take the Colts +170 is the upset special this week. Give me the Colts to beat the Buffalo Bills, Maggie. I'm sorry to do that to your beloved Bills.
That's okay. You didn't mention the fact that guess who the Bills have next week?
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll definitely lose next week.
Well, Kansas City coming to Buffalo.
That'll be the upset special next week if the Bills are favored. Yeah, we'll take Kansas City. You can mark that down right now.
They beat KC in the regular season.
That's okay, great. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, no, they'll win that game and lose in the playoffs.
No, they won't. No. They'll lose. Yes, they will lose both.
They may lose both. I hope they're not looking ahead and then they have the bye week and they come out of the bye, San Francisco at LA at Detroit. This is gonna be an interesting season.
They're really good. I think like they're one of the three teams in the AFC, like no matter what happens over the next couple of weeks, along with Baltimore and Kansas City. But Maggie, I mean, the problem is just like Josh Allen can, I think he will win a Super Bowl. It's never going to be with Sean McDermott. Like they got to fire this guy and get someone else in there and get this team over the hump. Yeah. I'm not a hater. I'd love to see Buffalo win. I think it would be great. For the sport. And Allen's awesome. Mm. I just don't think it ever happens with this guy as the head coach.
Well, maybe you would like to join my letter writing campaign because I'm currently leading the charge on that. I thought they made a huge mistake not going super hard after Harbaugh. They should have been on him years ago, laying the groundwork, trying to get him in the building years ago, and they won't do it.
They should have fired him after the DeMar Hamlin fake punt call in the playoff game last year. Should have been canned on the spot.
It was
immediately
a terrible, terrible position to put a legend and hero like DeMar Hamlin in.
Yeah, by the way, I'm sure Harbaugh.
We'll skate past that.
Last year, he had Western New York and L.A. Chargers. I'm sure that was a fair fight.
That's it.
No, but he likes that stuff. Did you?
Thank you.
When the Chargers beat the. I don't know if anyone saw that. I just like this stuff. Chargers beat the Browns on Sunday, right? He goes up to the post-game press conference, and before anyone asks a question, he uninterrupted goes into like a 3-minute like soliloquy about how great the state of Ohio is and how much he loves Ohio. He's
a
just
troll.
A different dude,
what
man.
A troll.
No, but he's not. He's sincere. He's not trolling.
He beat Ohio State the last 3 years before he mic dropped with a national championship.
No, but he grew up in Ohio. Like I think Jim Harbaugh has zero like comedy about him. I think he's 100% serious at all times.
Nick, thank you so much. Nick Kostos, You Better You Bet. Listen to him every afternoon, BetQL, and on so many of these Infinity Sports Network stations. Nick, thank you.
So do you like Andrew Diamonds and Perloff, Maggie Shades of Gray? would probably be what
Maggie
it is.
Maggie 50 Shades of Grey?
Nick.
Well, I don't know if I mean, you said that, not me. I would just go with Shades of Grey.
Nick cost us some money on the Broncos pick last week.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I like that a lot. Wishing everybody, that's excellent. And honestly, look, the Berman grunt was really good too.
You
gave everybody
you did give us a Browns 2 weeks ago, so you're still good.
Oh, thanks for the life raft, buddy. Wishing everyone minimal sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
Nick Kostos is the best. Okay, when we come back, Andrew Bogish, who watched the Super Bowl with Nick Kostos on a couch many, many years ago, will join us to give us some headlines. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Maggie Perloff. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Our thanks to Nick Kostos, who joined us from You Better You Bet, winning us some money. EJ is king for a day, which means he's making all of us do silly things. There was a whole situation about some fresh squeezed orange juice a couple weeks ago. So now EJ has decreed that Perloff buy everybody in the show fresh squeezed orange juice.
These are so cool, too. They're they're kind of bottled fresh squeezed oranges, but this is fresh squeezed even though it's in a can.
This is the new trend. I was just telling the guys there's a coffee place in my neighborhood that instead of putting your coffee in a cup, they like can it on.
Oh, my God.
Like on site? At the counter. Yeah.
Cold coffee.
Cold coffee.
Well, thank
Ice coffee
Perloff.
Comes in a can.
All right, let's get some ASMR here.
Yeah, EJ or Manny, come over here and get them while they're cold.
Thank you, EJ, by the way. EJ's king for a day, but this is really for all of us.
And this is delicious. Mm. Orange juice is the best. Is there vodka anywhere? No? Yes? No?
Hang on a second.
It is Friday.
Is this fresh squeezed?
It's got, I can see the pulp in it.
Mm.
It's definitely not straight from a from the
all right.
box.
Well, thank you, Perloff. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thank EJ
well,
for
I mean,
picking
you
Fernando
it.
Tatis and Giancarlo Stanton.
When all the rest of us picked Adley Rushman and Jose Ramirez. That was just me. Bogish has headlines for us.
Try to outsmart yourself with Jose Ramirez, Mac.
Yeah, that was the Gunnar Henderson wasn't getting it done. Oh, well.
Headlines are sponsored by PXG. Staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football and use code football.
You suck, Bogan.
The Ravens punted 5 times total in their first 9 games. They punted 5 times last night, managing just 7 points into the third quarter. They trailed the Bengals 21-7 when everything changed, when Cincy running back Chase Brown fumbled. Baltimore then could not stop scoring.
Two receivers to the left, two to the right. Hill to the left of Jackson. Shotgun. Jackson looking. Jackson looking to his left. Jackson floating. End zone. Caught. Left side. Touchdown. Rashad Bateman. A little flip from Jackson to put the Ravens in front.
Ian Eagle on Westwood 1. That was Lamar's third touchdown pass of the fourth quarter. Baltimore's fourth straight trip into the end zone. They led 35-28, but they gave up a third Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase TD, but the Bengals missed the go-ahead two-point conversion with 38 seconds to go. The onside kick didn't work either, so John Harbaugh's team escaped 35-34.
We're very grateful for that win, and we're very grateful for our guys, man. The way our guys play, how they fight, how they don't give up, just what he said, there's still time on the clock. You keep fighting. Found a way right down to the end, even the defense getting the stop on the two-point play, and that's what it took. It took a stop at the end to win the game, and our defense did that.
The Ravens get to 7-3 with the season sweep of the Bengals, who are now 4-6. Nobody's sturdier than Anthony Davis, so I'm sure this will be fine, but it does sound a little concerning for the Lakers. ESPN says AD's dealing with nagging plantar fasciitis in his left foot. It's been an issue since the end of last season. He sat out their last game because of the issue, and those Lakers also assigning Bronny James to the G League following tonight's game with the Sixers. Bronny will likely debut tomorrow night, continue to play home games only with the South Bay Lakers, returning to the big club otherwise. Guys, back to you.
Nothing to see here in the Bronny department. Well, business as usual.
I don't understand a couple things about this. So he's
just
not,
a couple?
Yeah, just a couple. So he's not going to travel with the G League team?
Correct.
Just the home games?
Because I believe you can infinitely go back and forth. So he'll just go there to play the games and then not leave town.
Yes.
But my question is, okay, why? Is it an,
to here's, play.
No, but why not to go on the road games? So he can go back to the Lakers and sit on the bench?
Maybe.
My only thought on this, and it might come from becoming from a good place, which is if they are really worried about his heart condition, they want him playing in smaller arenas that may not be outfitted or equipped with devices. I don't know. That would be the only thing, because why wouldn't you want him to be getting any kind of experience, like whether it's home with the G League team or on the road, play. Sitting on the bench for the Lakers does nothing for him.
But he gets in the photo ops, though, in the shoot-arounds with LeBron.
No, this is just LeBron wants a buddy.
Are those bus trips?
I think the mom has something to do with this. I think she's running the show.
Savannah?
I think Savannah decided, you know, because obviously the James family runs the Lakers. There's obviously no doubt about that.
Obviously.
I feel it's like a mom call.
First most powerful person at the Lakers, LeBron James. Second, Savannah James.
Oh, come on. We know it's the other way around.
15th, Rob Pelinka. 855-212. Not mentioned, J.J. Redick. Coming up next, let's do some picks.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.